this message. Sinners headed for destruction, chaos, and doom. And we're in Mark, the 13th chapter. We're teaching the Gospel of Mark from Greek. And this is a class I started at Valley Baptist Church, and I'm trying to teach every book in the New Testament. And we're teaching 2 Corinthians from Greek, and we're teaching the Gospel of Mark from Greek, and hopefully I can make it through these books and get them out where people can study God's Word. 13 to verse 10, but I want to go back up and get you online and on page with this subject. And Jesus was coming out of the temple area, and verse number 1, and his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, notice the sort and quality of these beautiful stones and buildings." And Jesus replied to him, "You see these great buildings? There will not be one stone left upon another that are not loosed and torn down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple enclosure, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. And we don't have a picture of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, but just put in your mind, that's what where it is. And Jesus said up there, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how many times I would have called you as a mother hen would her baby chickens, but you would not come." They would not come, would they? Now, they're plotting against him in every way to try to murder him. I preached one message on here. Enemies make strange bedfellows. The Sadducees, the scribes, the Herodians, the Pharisees, the Levites, and the high priest were all in the same bed together now, trying to destroy Jesus. They were all linking up and taking turns to try to destroy him. And then Jesus goes over there after they have rejected him. The political system, remember, Satan rules in what? Social, economic, and political areas, and that's exactly what we got right here. All right here. And Peter, James, and John, and Andrew started interrogating him privately. "And tell us when this will take place and what will be the sign of all these things. Of all of them are about to be accomplished." And Jesus began to tell them, "Be careful and watchful, let no one mislead you about it. Many will come and appropriating to themselves the name Messiah, of which belongs to me." And we see this, don't we? Herbert Armstrong said the gospel hadn't been preached in 1800 years. Joseph Smith, God said God was dissatisfied with all churches, wanted him to start another one. It would have been great if he'd have started one of the found right ones, wouldn't it? But he started a religion where every man is a god. And every woman is subject to the man that is God. And then we have Muhammad. Boy, the epitome. The epitome of all false religion in Muhammad. Vicious, vicious false religion. Vicious man. The apostle of God is what he called himself, the messenger of God. Basing their claims on the use of my name, saying I am he, and they will mislead many. And you hear wars and rumors of wars, do not get alarmed and troubled and frightened. It is necessary that all these things take place, but the end is not yet. And now has this happened all through church history? Church history is a history of political and religious wars. Right here, it all began in 325 AD when the Catholic Church began. And she began to persecute all the others. And we see the history of Mariolatry. When it began in the 500s, we see the church and the state united. We see infant baptism established by law because they wanted everybody to be a member of the church and the state. So their citizenship was baptism, so they started baptizing all the babies. And that's where you have godmothers and godfathers. We have indulgences and Mariolatry. Look at Mariolatry. When was Muhammad born? What year do you remember? People are going to be... the world out here is going to be very surprised.
Do you want water,
John? No, I've got water. Marna, over in Australia, was very astounded at you students. She said, those people have really got some biblical backgrounds. I hope you've got historical backgrounds, too. Because all of it's very important, isn't it? Political science, Western civilization, and all of this is extremely important. When was Muhammad born? 570 A.D. Mm-hmm. He died in 632. And in that period of time, he had turned the world upside down religiously and set on an institution of war and murder. And of course, if you listen to them, religion is not by coercion. It's not by force. That's what he believed in Mecca. But when he came to Medina, all of that was abrogated and put behind him. From then on, it was what Catholicism was doing. He copied the Catholic Church, Mariolatry. He had Jesus born of a virgin, but he's not the Son of God. Okay? We see all of this here. Now let's go on down. All this is going to take place now. Jesus is telling them all of this is going to take place. But don't worry, because the time isn't yet. This is all going to happen in church history. All of this is going to happen. Purgatory, saint and image worship, infant communion, transubstantiation, celibacy, auricular confession, the Inquisition. The Bible is forbidden. In religion, the Bible is forbidden. The Catholic Church forbid the Bible, and Muhammad said the Bible is corrupt. While Abu Bakr, I believe it was, went into Alexandria, Egypt, where the greatest library in the world was, and he burned all the books. Some of the greatest biblical commentaries in the world were there. Some of the oldest copies of the Bible in the world. This is right after 632 A.D., right in the first caliphate after Muhammad. He said the only book that needed to exist in the world is the Quran. Of course, no one can read the Quran and understand it. Did you know what? That's what they say. Nobody can read the Quran and understand it. You have to take the Sunnahs and the Hadiths. Because everything in the beginning of Muhammad's ministry was abrogated. It was re-inspired. Everything God said over there, he changes his mind when he comes to Medina. Now that's a fact. Period. You will never hear that except in the close circles of Islam. But that's the story. We see all this taking place down there, and then we see the split of the Eastern and Western Church, where we have the Greek Orthodox and we have what we call the Holy Roman Catholic Church, which was the Holy Roman Empire. We see all these things taking place during this period of time right here. When you hear wars and rumors of wars, do not get alarmed, troubled, or frightened, but it is necessary that these things take place, but the end is not yet. There's going to be 50 to 100 million Christians killed by the Catholic Church. And there's going to be over 170 million people killed by Islam. Islam's empire was much greater than the Roman Catholic Church. And the greatest, most populous religion in the world today is Islam. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famine and calamities. And it is but the beginning of the intolerable anguish and sufferings, only the first of the birth pangs. Remember what I said? Sinners headed for destruction, chaos, and calamities. Intolerable anguish and sufferings. The Catholic Church tortured people to death. The Inquisition tortured people. The Inquisition is you question somebody if they're a Christian or not. You don't question them, you torture them. That's for the rack, and that's where the thumb screws. All these terms that we hear today so common, that's where it all came from. Muhammad's people were going from one end of Europe to the other. They ruled Western Europe for 300 years. That was under the caliphate. Freedom of religion. They said when Islam, when the caliphate was in power, when the Ottoman Empire was in power, everybody had freedom. What a lie. There was a great Renaissance. It's because they stole all the information from everybody else. That's where the Arabic mathematicians and all this were all begun. They claimed all that for themselves. It was borrowed. You might say borrowed, but maybe stolen. Look to yourselves, for they will turn you over to councils. That word there, councils, there is synagogues. Now we're going way back into the early part of the church when the Roman government was trying to protect. Who was the first Roman emperor that was converted? It wasn't Constantine.
Tiberius
Caesar. And he was protecting the early church. From what? From what?
Judaism.
From Jews. From Israel. From the Jews. Mm-hmm. Judaism. He was protecting the church from Judaism. We see the Catholic Church took after that. Judaism. Islam took after the Catholics. Look to yourselves, for they will turn you over to Sanhedrins, and you will be beaten in the synagogues, and you will be stand before governors and kings for my sake. Now, did Paul do that?
Mm-hmm.
For a testimony to them? Did Peter suffer this? Paul was beheaded. Peter was supposedly, according to history, crucified upside down. By the way, he wouldn't last as long, would he, if he's crucified upside down? Well, he died much faster. And the good news, the gospel, must be preached to all nations. Look at that one, verse number 10. And the good news and the gospel must be preached to all nations. Was the gospel preached to all nations in the lifetime of the apostles?
I would say so.
Everybody except America. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Mormons have Jesus coming over here. Preached to all nations. Now let's look at that. Verse number 11. Kai hotan agusin. He mas me pro erimnate. Ti lalesete. All ha ein dothe himen en ekene te hora tuto lalete. Ugar este himes hoi lalantos. Alla to numa to hagion. It says here, and when they lead you, handing you over, don't be worried. Don't be nervous or anxious or ponder beforehand to try to figure out beforehand what you will say. Now, why? Not talking about us today, is it? Is this talking about us today?
No.
Who's it talking about?
Well, the Holy Spirit, I guess.
Stephen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Paul. Was the Holy Spirit inspiring them what to say? Was the New Testament written yet?
No.
New Testament wasn't written yet. This is one of the first books of the New Testament right here, the Gospel of Mark, written before 70 A.D. All right, so they didn't have the Bible, the New Testament, did they? So God said, I'll fill your mouths when you stand before these people. And this is talking about then. It doesn't apply today. We're not talking about right now. We're talking about what happened in church history in the past. Whatever may be given to you in that hour, that the hour, this you speak. Lalete. For not you are the one speaking, but the Spirit, the Holy. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. Why, some of those things are recorded in the book of Acts, aren't they? The book of Acts is the Acts of the churches. They call it the Acts of the Apostles. But it's the Acts of the churches that the apostles founded. Let's read this now, verse number 11 in the Amplified. And when they take you to court and put you under arrest, and do not be anxious beforehand about what you are going to say or even meditate about it, but say whatever is given to you in that very hour at the moment, for it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Now let's go and look at something. I want you to look at something here. I want you to see when this was fulfilled. One time. It's beautiful. Acts the 7th chapter. Acts chapter 7. Go to Acts chapter 7. I want you to see one man that got to speak and fulfill this. It's a long reading. And the high priest said, are these things so? Now Peter Stephen has been arrested. Stephen, they're fixing their gaze upon Stephen in Acts the 6th chapter and verse 15. And fixing their gaze on him, all were sitting in the council, saw his face like the face of an angel. And the high priest said, are these things so? He's talking about the end times and what's going to happen. And he said, hear me, brethren, fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. And he said to him, depart from your country and your relatives and come into a land that I will show you. Now, boy, they're listening to him. These people are listening. But I want you to hear the message that God inspired this man to say. And these are the last words recorded they ever said too. And he parted from the land of the Chaldees and settled in Haran, and from there his father died, and God removed him into the country in which you are now living. And they'd say, amen, amen, amen. And he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of the ground, and not even no child. And he promised that he would give it to him as a possession to his offspring after him. But God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be aliens in a foreign land, and they would be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years, and whatever nation to which they shall be in bondage, I myself will judge, said God. And they're saying amen in the background. You can imagine all these Jews saying amen. And after that, they will come out and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision, so that Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him in the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. The 12 patriarchs. This is what they call the patriarchal age. And the patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt, and yet God was with him. And he rescued him from afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh and the king of Egypt, and made him his governor over Egypt and his household, all of his household. And how a famine came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction with it, and the fathers could not find any food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there. He sent who? Our fathers there. And they're saying, amen, amen, amen. Can you hear them out there in the background? His face shone like an angel. Why? Because the Spirit of God was upon him. And on the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family was disclosed and to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent word and invited Jacob, his father, to all his relatives to come, and 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down to Egypt, and there passed away he and our fathers, remember. Our fathers, that I'm one of you now. And God's inspiring this, is he not? And from there they were removed to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham purchased for the sum of money from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. That's the oldest deed in the world right there. You could take this to a court, a law, and it would stand. But as the time of the promise was approaching and God assured Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt, and there arose another king over Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. And it was he who took a shrewd advantage of our race and mistreated our fathers so that they would be exposed or infants and they would not survive. They had to throw them in the Nile River just like Moses was thrown into the Nile River. He was exposed, but then God took care of him. And it was at this time and that Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God, and he was nurtured for 3 months in his father's home. And after he had been exposed, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own son. Amen! 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 He's got him in his hand, doesn't he? And God is inspiring him to say every word. And Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. And when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren and the sons of Israel. Now, I want to ask you something. We're going to go jump beyond the Exodus and Cecil B. DeMille and all that kind of stuff. Did Moses know who his mother was? Why, he was nursed by her for at least 12 years. Why, that's what the rich people did. They had a nursemaid for their children. The mothers did not nurse the child. They had some woman. They paid some woman to do it. And by the way, Islam says that Muhammad was very poor, but his family, the Quraysh, ruled the Kaaba. And that's a tribe. Everybody in that tribe was rich, including his mother and his father. When his father died before he was born, his uncle took over, or his grandfather took over, and then he died. But guess what? Muhammad's mother did not nurse him, did she? No. She had enough money. Now, it tells the story in the life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq that this family didn't want to take him, but they took him out there, and then he started having epileptic seizures, and they wanted to bring him back and all this kind of stuff, but that God was making miraculously. Their sheep were producing more milk and more wool and all this and everybody else's. Muhammad was not poor. His mother, family was not poor. He had a nursemaid, just like it says here. All the rich had nursemaids. All the pharaohs had nursemaids. They buried the nursemaids with the pharaohs many times. They buried Rebecca's nursemaid with her. That's the way it was. She was nursing when she married Isaac. She was brought with him. And he saw some of them being repeatedly treated unjustly, and he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance and through him, but they did not understand it. And in the following day he appeared to them as they were fighting one another and tried to reconcile them in peace, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you injure one another?" But one of them, who was injuring his neighbor, pushed him away and saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us?" And I'm sure that in the background they stand here and say, "Amen, amen, amen. You not mean to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday, do you?" And in this remark, Moses fled and became an alien in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. And after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame and a burning thorn bush. And they can say all amen to everything here, isn't it? They don't disagree with any of this. He's rehearsing the whole history of Israel. And when Moses saw it and began to marvel in the sight, and he approached to look more closely, there came a voice of the Lord. I am God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the Isaac, and Jacob. Moses shook with fear and would not venture to look. But the Lord said to him, take off your sandals from off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt and have heard their groans, and I have come down to deliver them. And come now, and I will send you to Egypt. What does Moshe mean?
To draw out.
It means to rescue.
Oh, rescue, okay.
A rescue or draw out. That's what it means. Are they saying amen still?
No.
All right. Still saying amen. The tribulation period is coming upon Israel because they would not see and they would not hear. Their ears are open now because it's telling familiar stories. But when it comes down to the end of this message, they're going to have a wall-eyed calypso fit. Sinners destined for doom. Sinners headed for doom. And this Moses whom they disowned, saying, who made you a ruler and judge? Is this the one whom God sent? To both the ruler, to be ruler and deliver with the help of an angel who appeared to him in the thorn bush. And this man led them out, performing wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. By the way, the word Red Sea there, that's from the Septuagint. It's not from the Hebrew Bible.
It's Reed.
It's Sea of Reeds in the Hebrew Bible. The Septuagint was translated incorrectly, but this is the one they used. It was a sea of reeds. And I can go into that deeply, but I won't right now. And this is Moses who said, sons of Israel, God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. And this is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness, together with the angel who was speaking to him in Mount Sinai, and who was with our fathers, and he received the living oracles to pass on to you. And our fathers were unwilling to be obedient. Uh-oh. Is this true? Our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but repudiated him in the hearts and turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make for us gods. Make for us gods who will be before us, for this Moses who led us out of the land of Egypt. We do not know what's happened to him. And at that time they made a calf and brought a sacrifice to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their hand. And I'm going to tell you what Aaron did. Aaron was a goldsmith, wasn't he? Now the tribe of Levi was, according to history, was the only tribe that wasn't totally enslaved because they were the artisans and the crafters. They are the ones that made the golden coffins and masks and all those golden utensils that went into those great pyramids. King Tut, all of that. And God turned away and delivered them to serve the host of heaven. By the way, the host of heaven, you know who that is? No, that's Allah. That's Allah. This is Allah. This is the God of the Korash tribe, the high God of the Kaaba. The crescent and the star. And if you go back to the book of Judges, you'll see that when they went in there and overcame them, that they took those crescents and stars off of those people and off their camels. This was old. That they took them away and melted them all down. And to serve the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of prophets, I was not to me that you offered victims and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, was it, O house of Israel? And you also took along the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of the god of Rapha, the meteorite. Goes way back there, doesn't it? What is a meteor? What is the Kaaba? It's a meteorite stone. And what is the symbol of Islam? The star and the crescent cross, or the crescent moon, that is.
Not that one.
What? Yes, there you go. The crescent moon. Because that, what is that? That was what they were worshiping in Europe. The same thing is a meteorite stone. And the images which you made for worshiping them, and I will remove you from beyond Babylon. And our fathers had the tabernacle and the testimony in the wilderness, and he spoke to Moses and directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. And having received it, in turn of our fathers brought it with him, with Joshua, upon dispossessing the nations whom God drove out before the fathers until the time of David. Are they saying amen to all these things? Yeah. And David found favor in God's sight and asked that he might find a dwelling place for God of Egypt, of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him, and however, the Most High does not dwell in houses made with human hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool of my feet. And what kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what place is there for my repose, for my resting, for my place of sitting? Are they saying amen? All of us are saying amen, amen. They're just rehearsing he's rehearsing the whole history of the Jews, of Israel. Was it not my hand which made all these sayings, and you men? Uh-oh. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. You men. Now he turns on them. Right now he's got their attention. Everybody is listening to every word that he says. Every word has been amen. And all of a sudden he is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, as it says in verse 11. Mark 13 and verse 11. And he begins to call to them right there. I got your attention, people. Now this is it. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, ears always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who had previously announced in the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the quick. And they began, and they kept on biting him with their teeth, like dogs. They had become Gentiles. They had become dogs. They called the Gentiles dogs. Being full of the Holy Spirit. See, this is it. 13 and verse 11. Being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of God's man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice. They covered their ears and they rushed upon him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began to stone him. And the witnesses laid aside the robes at the feet of the young man named Saul. There's the Apostle Paul before he became the Apostle Paul. And they went out on stoning Stephen, and they called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, he said, he called upon the Lord, Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling down on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold that this sin against them. Having said this, he died. That's an inspired sermon right there. I preach that sermon a lot of times in my life. 13 verse 11. When they take you to court and put you under arrest, do not be anxious beforehand what you're going to say or even meditate upon it, but say whatever is given to you in that hour and in that moment, for it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit of God. 13. And verse 12. Kai? Paradose. Adelphos, Adelphon. Aesthonaton. Kai pater technon. Kai epi on ste sonte. Techna epi gones. Kai. Thanatosusen. Autos. And each one shall hand over brother, unto death. This is going to happen during this period of time. Brother will kill brother. Did Constantine kill his brother on that bridge? His blood dripped into the river, and his body floated down the river. Brother shall hand over brother, and that was over what became the Catholic Church. But we know that it's going to happen in the church age that families will be divided over the gospel. Unto death, that thanaton, that means death. They will look at them and just ready to hand it over them to death. And father, child, look at that word there, father, child, that's technos, that's a live birth, isn't it? That's yalad in Hebrew. And they shall raise up against children and against parents, and they shall be put to death, all of them. Verse 12 in the Amplified, and brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child, and the children will take a stand against their parents and have them put to death. And we know this happened in church history, don't we? In church history, it tells us that Catholicism will go into the little Baptist colonies, which, and those are the ancestors of the Amish and the Mennonites, pretty much, the Anabaptists. They would go into those areas, and they would kidnap the children, and they were forcing the children to be baptized. And they would take a child and put him in a warm bathtub, and slit his wrist, and under warm water, the blood would not coagulate, and they say, tell us when we can baptize him, tell us when. And families would turn over father and mother in these areas. Remember in 251 A.D. what happened between Constantine?
Split over discipline.
The church at Rome over Novatian and Cornelius. Some of those people were recanting their faith and then telling on everybody, and they'd want to come back in church and become church members again after they got out from underneath the hammer. And Novatian said, no, you got to be publicly baptized again. So your neck will be in the noose again, this time. This all happened. Verse number 13 now. Kai esseste misomenoi hippoponton dieto onoma mu ho de hippomenas eis telos Hutos so stasete. And you shall be for yourself. You shall be for yourself. Now, Muhammad said when he lived in Mecca that religion was not by compulsion. Did he not? After he went to Medina, he took up the practices of Catholicism. And they began to kill and murder and kidnap and plunder and take booty. And ye shall be for yourself being hated. That word, you shall be for yourself. See that middle voice there? That's volition. Volition. Being hated. Mesomenoi. That word comes from messio. And you shall be being hated. Because of what you believe and what you say, you will be hated. By all the ones, because of the name of me. And moreover, the one, having remained under the strain, that's what it means, unto the end, this one, he shall be saved. This is a pretty good verse here, Brother Ray. And you shall be hated and destitute by everyone, detested by everyone for my sake, but he who patiently preserves and endures to the end will be saved, that is, made a partaker of the salvation of Christ and delivered from the spiritual death. Now, who's this whole story about? Sharon, who is this? Who's the subject of all of this? What is the subject here? You remember? We're talking about Jewish people, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to a Jewish church at this time. We're talking about Jewish people. And we're talking about the Jews. And he says, when will all these things take place? When's this going to happen? Now, how many Jews are going to be killed during this tribulation period? Two-thirds of them. Two-thirds of all the Jews in the world are going to be killed when we come up to about the middle of the tribulation period. The tribulation period is going to be a bath for Israel. Sinners headed for destruction and doom and calamity and distress and chaos. Why are they sinners? Because they will not believe in the person of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the reason they're going to head for all of this. All of this back over here, Jesus, what he's saying here in the 13th chapter, is because they would not accept him, then all of this is going to happen. They asked for Barabbas to be released instead of Jesus. And, you know, he was one of the Sicarii. And these people going and kidnapping Jewish villages and abstracting money for them for their cause. And all this is going to happen because of my name. All this is going to happen because of my name. You will be hated and detested by everybody for my name's sake. But he who patiently preserves and endures to the end will be saved. Now, two-thirds of the Jews are going to die, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But those that are endured to the end shall be saved. Will they?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go through the washing machine right here, and then they're going to go through the rinse cycle. Right here is going to be the rinse and the softening up. You pour the softener in there. This is what's going to happen to them. Their hearts are going to be softened. They're going to get all of that Judaism rinsed out of them and all of the rejection of God, and they're going to admit who they have crucified. And look at verse number 14 now. Now, we're coming over here and we're going to talk about the middle of the tribulation period right there. We're talking about the end times. Islam and Judaism. The end times, Islam and Judaism, and sinners headed for destruction. And all of them were sinners, weren't they? All of these people that are here in this tribulation period have not accepted Christ as their Savior. That's how they got there. Because the rapture takes place over here. Now, all of these that go in here are those that won't believe. And the whole reason for the tribulation period is upon who?
Israel.
Israel. Israel. And what is God doing? He's refining them to take place, to hold on the administrators of his kingdom for 1,000 years. And that's these people here. And all of these are being called. They're all called out, unbelievers. But now, from now on, if they endure to the end, they shall be saved. It's not talking about churches, Brother Ray.
No.
Not talking about churches. 13 and verse 14. Now let's look at this. Hotan, de edete, to bleg, bleg grama, tes, epes, mosin, mosio, Estekota. Hofu. Ude. Ho. Anaginoskun. Noeto. Tot. Hoi. In te Judea. Figet tesun. Esta. Ora. Ore, that is. And when you may see the abomination, look at that word, a detestable thing, a stinking throng of the destruction, the devastation, having stood and standing where not it is necessary, the one reading, let him understand, know then, that the ones in the Judea, they shall flee and escape unto the mountains. Now, Sharon, what is Islam looking for in the end times? They're looking for a person.
Oh, well, they're looking for the 12th Imam?
The Mahdi.
Yeah.
They're looking for the Mahdi. Okay, the Mahdi is going to come forth, and where's the Mahdi going to come out of? Syria. Syria. Okay. And then the Mahdi will have a beast that's going to help him. And the beast will come out of Arabia. And then Jesus, Isa of Islam, is going to appear. All right? We see these three things. This unholy trinity that the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, the beast, the false prophet. The beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. Now, we have that trinity in Islam, and we have that trinity in the Bible. This power in the end times, this powerful deal. How long the Mahdi going to reign, Sharon?
7 years.
7 years. The Mahdi is going to reign 7 years. How long is the Antichrist going to reign according to the book of Revelation?
7 years.
7 years. What's good in the Quran is bad in the Bible. What's bad in the Bible is good in the Quran. And what's the beast going to do in the book of Revelation?
Mark.
It's going to place a mark on the forehead of all those that believe in the Antichrist. And in the Mahdi, or the Mahdi and the beast of the Quran and the Sunnahs and the Hadith, what is the beast going to do?
Mark
all true believers of Allah with the saying, there is no God but Allah. And what? And he has no Jesus, no companion, and Muhammad is his messenger. And you'll see that on the arms and on the foreheads of all of this jihadist in the world today. Is it here? Is it already happening? We're not in the middle of this tribulation period or anything, but that's where it's going. Are the Jews going to make a covenant with the false Messiah?
Yes.
According to the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation? How long is that covenant? 7 years? How long is Jacob's trouble? 7 years? That's according to the Bible. All of this leading up to the right things. Now, all of this happens. We have all of the true believers of Islam are going to be marked. That their confession of faith is, there is no God but Allah, he has no companion, and Muhammad is his messenger. They're going to make a covenant with Islam. Israel is. The Jews are going to make a covenant with Islam. Now, Islam says in their holy writings, if you want to call them holy, they say that the Kaaba is going to be removed to Jerusalem, don't they? And that they're going to build a great big temple there in Jerusalem. And the Kaaba is going to be there. And the book of Revelation and Daniel says that they're going to build a temple again in Jerusalem, aren't they? And they're going to offer sacrifices in that temple. And you can contribute to that temple today, can't you? The Jews. Online, you can contribute to that temple. And it'll be a temple for what? All people. But in the middle of that tribulation period, abomination, desolation takes place, And the Antichrist will stand there and say, I am God, worship me. Mm-hmm. That's the abomination of desolation. Now, the word Muhammad means what? The glorious one. Who is the only glorious one in the Bible?
Jesus.
He's taken all the titles of Jesus. He's borrowed all the titles of Jesus. And also, he's the intercessor. He's the intercessor. All of this is going to take place. And when they see this happen, let's see what happens here. Let's read. Verse number 14. But when you see the abomination of desolation mentioned by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not to be, and let the one who reads take notice and consider and understand and take heed of this, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Daniel 11:31 and 12 and verse 11. And then we have the road of the housetops in verse number 15, and that's where we're going to quit. Daniel 11:31 and Daniel 12 and verse 11. These are all fulfilled prophecies that will be fulfilled at that moment in the middle of the tribulation period. Verse number 15, our last verse. Ho epito domatos. May katabato. May day. Aesel thato. T. Ore. Ek tes. Oikios auto. The one upon the rooftop, the dome of the house. Not come down, not you come down, nor neither enter into anything to bear or to take out of the house of you. Don't do anything. Just leave. Just leave. Don't go down into the house. Let him who is on the housetop not to go down to the housetop, to go inside, to take anything out of the house. And that's where we're going to end up right there. These are the sinners that have rejected the oracle of God. These are the sinners that have rejected Jesus of the Bible. He tells them, when you see this happen, flee. Flee. And they're going to flee from jumping one house to another. I mean, you watch television, you know, watch Dirty Harry jumping from one movie and the cowboy movie jumping from one building to the other and all this kind of stuff. The road of the rooftops. Take off. And when you get out there to the end of it, take off and run and flee to the mountains. Mm-hmm. Now, many theologians believe that place is Petra. By the way, there's a lot, great big reservoirs of water underneath Petra. That is quite a city. And it has been left abandoned for so many years. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about Petra and the people that that were biblical critics said Petra never existed. That was imagination. Then all of a sudden they find the thing about 1900. And there it is, just like the Bible says. And it was abandoned. And people don't understand why it was abandoned. The Lord cursed that place. Now, there was trade routes that went through there, and all of a sudden the trade routes changed. And that was trade routes with the lifeblood of that place. That was Las Vegas mm-hmm. of that time. It was Las Vegas. This was an entertainment center. They had great big swimming pools out there. Giant. This is a tremendous place. And it's abandoned. They didn't know what it was until they start doing a lot of excavation and everything. Here it is. And then they found these great big underground cisterns where they had taken the waters and put underneath there. And they used to bring all them Arab girls in there and they would baptize them before they got married. And their names are still written on the walls in there and the years and everything in those cisterns. But guess what? God has set this place aside. Maybe they'll run down there and go in there and hide out in that place. And you know what? God is going to fight for them. And this is going to be a refining moment for the nation of Israel. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. All of those that won't believe will die. Only those that hold out to the end will be saved, Brother Ray. Only those that hold out to the end will be saved. Do you have any questions?
Yes.
Did you learn something today?
Yes.
All right, let's have a prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word this day. We send it out. We pray that if there's a Jew out there or a Muslim that does not know you, and they won't, that you will convict them of your spirit and don't let them rest. Let them realize that Jesus is your Son, that he is our only hope of salvation. Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. Thank us for the time that we have here today with God's people, and bless each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.